have a long background in the environment, working with the U.S. government, and now in education. Could you help me understand your evolutionary thinking in where the environment has come?
Well, I think what we're seeing is a real sea change in attitudes towards environmental protection. First, with regard to how society understands that progress gets made. We're moving away from a model that's really been dominant for 40 years, where the government not only sets the standards, but is the primary actor in doing the work of figuring out how we're going to protect the environment, what technologies we need and how to develop them, and then mandating very specifically to the industry world what they have to do in the way of technology for pollution control. We're shifting now to a model that's based more on economic incentives, not command and control mandates. And in this new model that will involve both taxes for harms or charges for emissions that are causing harm, as well as perhaps cap and trade pollution allowance systems, we're going to see the private sector taking the leading role in developing technologies. Government doesn't go away, to be sure. They still need to set the standards. They still have an important role to play in structuring incentives for private sector action. But the business community will be the ones that step up and really figure out what kind of technologies are possible and how to make them work.
Given 40 years ago, was the environment a capitalistic way of life that was evolving, or did that evolve somewhere between 1992 and, let's say, 2004?
I think we are in sort of a slow roll revolution in terms of understanding about how best to pursue environmental protection. You know, since the Italian economist Pigou first talked about the need to internalize externalities to make people pay for the harms they cause, we've understood that it would be valuable to have a capitalistic approach to environmental protection. Make people pay for the harms they cause and they'll cause less harm. You'll also create an incentive at the same time for people to produce solutions that can help us solve those problems. And I think what's happened, and it's really a much faster moving revolution in the corporate world, is that in the last year or two, companies have begun to realize that the environment is not just a set of costs to bear or regulations to follow, but that there is a real upside opportunity, that companies that can produce solutions, environmental goods and services that help solve problems like climate change, can make money doing it. And I think that's very exciting, and it's got a lot of companies, from GE to lots of little small companies, stepping up to be environmental solutions providers.
Would you say that on the other spectrum from what you have explained, the new capitalistic marketing of the environment, are the radical environmentalists, Greenpeace, et cetera, are they doing more harm than good?
Well, I think you see a lot of groups like Greenpeace that are evolving with this changing perspective. So Greenpeace understands now that there is a time for confrontation, perhaps. Some companies really don't get it, but that they can work with companies that are trying to do the right thing and are moving towards an improved environmental performance. So at the World Economic Forum in Davos in January, Greenpeace actually did a press conference with Coca-Cola to celebrate the fact that Coca-Cola had shifted entirely out of refrigeration based on chlorofluorocarbons. And I think Greenpeace was there alongside Coca-Cola to say that we can work together on some issues, and we're going to. Having said that, there are some elements of the environmental community who are no longer really, I think, relevant because they don't understand this changing world, and they'll fall away because there are new groups stepping up that get it and will play an important role in prodding business, but do so in a constructive fashion.
So what was the role of the early environmentalists in 72 to 92 versus today?
Well, the environmentalists of that period of the late 60s into the 70s did an enormous service, and we owe them a great debt of gratitude because they raised the flag. They told us there were problems here that needed to be addressed. They got society to pay attention, and I think they got us on the path to where we are now. But I think the progress that was made in that era has somewhat ground to a halt, and we really have done very little over the last decade or 15 years because I think the model was a tired one. It didn't have this ability to harness the engine of capitalism and really use that as the driver for environmental progress.
So, therefore, is the Agenda 21 dead in the water because of rules and regulations?
Agenda 21 is really a valuable compilation of the full spectrum of things that we need to think about in the realm of pollution control and natural resource management. But because it is so comprehensive, it's not really an action agenda. And frankly, it doesn't really serve the same purpose in a world where private markets are going to help drive us toward environmental solutions. So I think government setting standards on things like greenhouse gas emissions, making companies pay a price for the harms they cause, is the critical next step to getting us going on the path towards solving the climate change problem, getting innovation going, harnessing the entrepreneurial spirit that exists in America and across the world. And I think what's exciting to see is how that has happened over the last couple of years.